This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Breaking news, engaging talk, news that affects you. The KUMA Coffee Hour, brought to you by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5.
Good morning, and joining your host for the Coffee Hour, Dan Tessman. This morning, guest is Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent, Intermountain ESD, and we'll begin the conversation coming up right after this.
The Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon invite you to enjoy Nashville Troubadour, Kip Moore. Saturday, September 10th, to kick off the 2022 world-famous Pendleton Roundup. Pendleton Roundup. Tell her she's mine. Kip Moore, MCA Nashville singer and songwriter, will perform Under the Stars in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena, presented by Integrity Corp. Get your tickets today in the Party Pit Letterbox Zone. Tickets are on sale right now at PendletonRoundup.com. Kip Moore. Pendleton Roundup. You won't want to miss it. Letterbox.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour. On News Radio FM 96.5, 1290, KUMA.
Well, good morning. It is Tuesday, July 26th. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tessman, your host. And joining me in studio this morning is Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent of Intermountain ESD. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Dan. Good morning, Danny. And Danny, I have to give you the shout out how much I appreciate the 80s music bumper music.
80s to go with the temperature.
It brings me right back to my prime, baby.
It is. That is prime stuff.
It is.
Very creative.
And Danny's keeping that cool atmosphere with the Hawaiian shirt, too.
I am, yes. I'm embracing it without the humidity.
Right.
He's embracing his midlife crisis right in front of us.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining us here. And on a much more serious topic, last month when you appeared here on the KUMA Coffee Hour, you said now would be a good time to refresh your school district leaders on school security. And it looks like that's what you're doing at the Intermountain ESD Summit on August 8th. Tell us about that.
Well, kind of the theme here today that we talked about before prepping here is we're really talking about school security. So school security is nothing new. We've been at this for literally decades. When I think back on my career that started back in the 80s, you know, really the early 90s was a time when, unfortunately, we experienced things in Oregon. If we remember the Kip Kinkle shooting, we had Reynolds. We had several events in Oregon of teenage active shooters at the schools. And this was horrifying to all of us, of course. And, you know, I believe it is really one of the worst things going on in our country right now that we have to address. And it's not just a school issue. It's a community issue. It's who we are right now to prevent and ensure that there's safety. I can tell you that the school personnel take this very seriously. We've worked on it, as I said, literally for decades. So this is nothing new. Over the years in particular, we've learned a lot by working with local law enforcement on terms and terminology and logistics that is very foreign, that very, very foreign to us. And we know how to put together a basketball team. We know how to get a award-winning choir. We know how to get third graders to read. But an event like this is law enforcement. And so the key to the whole thing is working closely with your local officials. And that's, you know, what we're going to talk about today, that it is occurring. And to keep our schools safe. And before we really start, I do want to remind you that the safest place statistically for children ages 5 to 18 is in a school. Most deaths for younger kids occur from domestic violence at home. For older kids, it's often accidents such as driving and car wrecks. So that is important for context, that schools every single day, we have literally millions of kids walking through the doors in our public schools that are very, very safe every single day. And so that is context. But however, when these very rare events And they are rare if you look at it statistically, but at the same time, when they happen, they're incredibly traumatizing. You know, they permanently traumatize a community, and we all hope we're not next. So communities we didn't know before are right off the top of our head, like Columbine, like Uvalde. Those are now imprinted because of the horrific tragedy with children. So we take this very, very seriously, and the summit that we're putting together is basically the latest, the latest effort of something we've done before many, many years. We had one in 2016 that was very successful. But we really felt, especially after Uvalde, that that has rattled public. It's rattled everybody. And what can we do to tune things up a little bit? Because our last 2 years have been really, really focused on the pandemic. So, you know, I've been on this show when we're talking about masking mandates, we're talking about vaccination mandates, these kinds of things. And active shooter really wasn't, it was still there, but not as dominant as it is now. And there's no surprise as we're coming out of COVID with the mental health issues that we're experiencing in our society that we have to really look at school security again and put it out, to put it as number one.
Well, and building that relationship between law enforcement and school administration, school administrators, is one of your building blocks for school security. Tell us about the I Love You Guys program and how it's being used by the schools in the ESD.
I Love You Guys is a nonprofit foundation, and it was formed by a father who lost a child in an active shooter, and they had been on the cell phone with each other, and that's where the name came from. And he put it out, his mission to provide research-based best practices for schools, basically free, and which was unique. And we adopted I Love You Guys curriculum. Basically what it does, Dan, it gives us common terminology, okay? It gives us common terminology of the different phases of an active shooter, like the lockdown versus a lockout. What we've found over the years is when we have different terminology, it's very confusing to law enforcement, because law enforcement, it doesn't matter if you're a sheriff's department, local police department, and think of that in our region. You know, you have the Pilot Rock, you have Umatilla, you know, you have LeGrand PD, you have Oregon State PD, you have different sheriffs. They're all converging to support if there's ever an active shooter in Ukiah. Well, if Ukiah is using, if the administration is in a lockout or a lockdown, those are two different events. And if you just interchangeably use terms, that puts law enforcement, who basically take over as soon as the event, as soon as they arrive, you know, that's going to delay their ability to maneuver. We saw some of this with Uvalde. So what we've done in our region is adopting common terminology. We do the I Love You Guys so that when we say, you know, Pilot Rock Elementary is in a lockout, it means this. If they're in a lockdown, if we're looking at reunification at the end, these kind of terms, people all kind of nod their head, yep, they're common terminology, and we're working together. And what makes us even more critical is the turnover we're experiencing in today's workforce. So we have new teachers, new superintendents, new principals. That was one of the things that motivated me to put this event together, is the change in leadership. Several years ago, Stuart Roberts, Pendleton Police Chief, and I worked very, very closely. Stuart, at that time, this was about 2016-17, he went out to every one of our schools and did a security audit. And he came, like, for instance, our preschool class, our building in Hermiston. And he walked through there and he said, you need to do this. You need to do this with your windows. You need to secure this perimeter, those cubbies. That is a storage thing that you probably, that you're not monitoring. And it was things that never would have crossed my mind. I am geared toward a welcoming environment. We want parents and kids to feel welcome and happy when they walk through the school doors. Law enforcement doesn't look at it that way. They look at it as, and so, okay, so what's the happy medium? We don't want to build fortresses that locks out our community. That's what our challenge is. We're going to have kids out there on the playground on recess. We're going to allow the public to come in and into the classroom, and we're going to have a winter concert. But how do we find the happy medium with security? How do we build buildings and remodel with a different lens? That's what we've done over the years. And our buildings, if you haven't noticed, are much more secure. If you were to go to today to Washington Elementary, there's only one point of entrance. You often have security cameras. You have bulletproof glass. You have very, very tight perimeters. You have key locks, you know, cards. It's modern. Whenever we pass a bond, which we've passed many over the last 10 to 15 years in our region, it's always looked at as security. The old days of open classrooms to the outside, like when I started my career, buildings, you walked outside, those would never be allowed in today's modern world. So we've learned a lot from our law enforcement on physical security, the training aspect, and we do a good job with it. We really have. It's a hard thing to prove, you know, when every single day it's a safe thing, but every time there's a event and children and staff are wounded or killed, and it just knocks us to our knees, and then we have to say, what are we doing? What can we learn from that? What do we do to prevent it? So Uvalde has done that, and so that's what we're doing this event for, is we got new people, we've got work we've done in the past. Let's get together. Let's review I Love You Guys. Let's look at scenarios. Let's look at best practices. So that's what the day will be. It'll be pretty much in law enforcement's hands to go over that. Here's the latest. Here's what we've learned. Then in the afternoon, we're going to have opportunity for the districts to work with their local law enforcement. Dan, I can't say enough for the effort that Chuck Byram, the Pendleton City Police, has done on this. He's been stunning on his collaboration. I work to pull together the districts and the superintendents, which is what my job is. He did the same thing in four counties with his local law enforcement. That's not necessarily his job. But he worked out. He's got Baker coming, Umatilla. So Morrow County, Union County, Umatilla, and Baker, all of them will be, we're going to have over 150 people there, all the law enforcement, 21 districts. I'm really excited about it. The ESD is paying for the meals, and boy, it's getting expensive quick. But at the same time, seriously, getting people committed. And I sat down with all the local law enforcement several times, and it was just like, yes, yes, yes. What do you need? Yes. Their commitment level and Chuck's commitment has just been stunning.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And there's more to come. We're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
It's time to fly. At least we always think it is. The Wall Wall Regional Airport and Alaska Airlines are excited to serve you, our traveling public, and to see all the fun destinations you choose. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and have fun exploring. The Wall Wall Regional Airport makes it easy to begin your trip with daily Alaska Air flights to and from Seattle and beyond. And remember, free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Richard Stapleman and how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped him.
I went to the Center for Ozone Therapy for a 21-year-old injury that had hindered all of my basic abilities from exercise to work. And since the injections, I have been nothing but all smiles, new activities, exercising again.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Did you know common hazards in and around your house can contaminate our drinking water? These hazards are known as cross connections and can result in contaminated water backflowing into your neighborhood drinking supply without you even knowing. If your property has an in-ground irrigation system, the state mandates you make sure these steps are followed. Confirm that your irrigation system has an approved backflow assembly. If you do not have one, then you need to get one installed immediately. Test your backflow prevention system annually and make sure the test results are reported to the city of Pendleton as mandated by Oregon law. Need a new sink? Did you know Zimmerman & Company True Value in Pendleton has a variety of sinks to choose from? Here's Terry to tell you more.
We have double basin sinks, we have single basin sinks, we have mostly your utility type sinks.
Want a special sink? They can do that too.
That catalog that they can look up through True Value, and also if they find something online, we could try our best to get it.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street, Pendleton. Behind every project is a True Value.
Stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Mark Mulvihill, superintendent of Intermountain ESD. We spent the first segment really diving into the topic of school safety, and it is important. There's this summit coming up on August 8th, and we were talking about some of the changes that have to be made to the way new schools are being built to enhance safety. Sure, they're schools. You want them to be welcoming. You want them not to look like a juvenile hall or a jail or stuff like that. But Mark, let's talk this segment, get into prevention. The tip line for students in Oregon was actually started by your ESD. How did that come about?
That was something, and this is something I think the public really needs to be aware of, that is a positive thing. I'm thinking it was about 5 years go by so fast now. About 5 years ago, I was approached by Oregon State Police at that time to pilot a tip line, an anonymous tip line. And they reached out to us because of our reputation in the region with the school districts and law enforcement, and they had heard what we'd done with Stewart and all the commitment level by the schools. So they wanted to pilot a tip line that basically is an anonymous tip line through any sort of communication, so social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, text, phone call, you name it, that anybody who is suspecting a safety issue in schools can report anonymously. So the anonymous is the key piece, because the research that we've learned over the years, and this dates back to the 1960s on active shooters, is you cannot get a consistent profile on the shooter except two things are consistent in every one. They're males, someone new. Usually another student knew, okay, that something was at risk. So what, basing that research, teenagers aren't going to, quote, snitch on each other. That was kind of, you know, an unwritten thing when we were in school, whatnot. You don't do that for a lot of reasons. It's part of being an adolescent. But this can't, but we've taught kids that cannot apply to this. And our kids that have grown up through the system understand that. But they still need the ability anonymously to report. So what this is and this can be anybody in the community. It could be you, Dan. It could be me. It could be a student. And you can text this tip line with, hey, this is the situation. Then there's a 24-hour a day person monitoring that. And they're trained, extensively trained by OSP to monitor that and determine their level of danger. So let's say it's a tip line from an 8-year-old that somebody kicked me on the bus. That's what came in. Well, they're going to put that as a lower safety category, maybe send an email the next day to a principal and say, hey, heads up. Okay, this is what I got. But they have direct contact with the school contact that's been given. So the principal. So back in the day when I was a principal, first thing I would do when I'd get to work is get on my computer, open it up, and read what the tip line sent me. Okay. So it's rated in categories, and most of the time you're probably getting in the medium type area that you need to follow up on. Now, if they determine this is really serious and it's immediate, they immediately call the school, and they will work with either local law enforcement, if I'm the contact, they'll call me. If they can't get a hold of me, they'll contact somebody. So they rate this, and this has been incredibly successful for us to head off issues. So schools, you know, we do a good job when we know. You know, I used to say this all the time as an administrator. I can't fix things unless I know about it. You got to let me know. So this is somebody monitoring every day, letting me know. And we've been able to prevent events occurring in our schools. And what is really positive about this is 24 hours trained personnel rating and leveling the risk and reporting. And so that was piloted here. It's gone really well. It's now statewide, and it's one of our key strategies. So in the beginning of the show, we talked about the physical security of buildings, this preventative piece with the tip line, as well as our counselors, as well as teaching children, they have to help us with safety. And their role is to let us know if something's happening, that we've got to know this. And so that has helped immensely. You want to get ahead of it. You want to prevent. You don't want to spend all your time on, you know, a drill while it's occurring. Although you need that, the preventative piece is huge. And so when we look at the summit, these are all preventative measurements, common terminology, physical security, security audits, tip lines, mental health counseling. At the summit, we'll have our regional mental health people. We'll have our transportation people. We will have our technology people. One of the things we found out with Uvalde was the technology broke down and they couldn't communicate. So this is a widespread, we all have roles here. And so in the summit, I'll have my IT guys there. I'll have the county mental health will be coming. The two different bus providers will be there because transportation is a huge issue. So we're looking at this holistically and working very, very hard to prevent a tragedy like we've seen in the rest of the country.
All right. Well, a couple more questions coming up regarding school safety and as well as some other things. We're going to take another quick break, back with more.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA coffee hours online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
The Old West atmosphere of Hamley Steakhouse and Saloon sets the scene for an amazing dining experience. Whether it's for a special occasion or no occasion at all, you'll have a memorable evening enjoying USDA prime cut steaks or a wide assortment of delicious ranch style menu selections. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. for dine in or takeout. Hamley Steakhouse, corner of Main and Court, downtown Pendleton.
Planning, looking ahead, it's a good practice. Michael Stratton with Stratton Insurance discusses why people buy life insurance.
There's dozens of reasons to buy life insurance, but when you boil everything down, typically people purchase life insurance because they owe it to someone or because they love someone. Life insurance has evolved, it's changed, it's become more expansive and actually less expensive over time. The products that we have available today are more efficient and they do more for you. It's no longer death insurance, it really truly is life insurance. If you get sick, get hurt, have something debilitative happen to you, and you can't perform two of the six daily tasks of living, you can receive a portion or a majority of your death benefit while you're living. Spend it any way as you see fit.
Let's sit down together today and see how life insurance can benefit your family. Stratton Insurance, one responsible source. Follow us on Facebook, see us in Pendleton, Hermiston, LeGrand, The Dalles, and online at stratton-insurance.com.
Every year, the City of Pendleton and the city's transit contractor Elite Taxi adjust their routes to accommodate free bus rides to and from our popular summer destination sites like the Aquatic Center and Splash Pad. Litter Bus Transit runs Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. For route and schedule information, go to the City of Pendleton website. Litter Bus Transit, brought to you by the City of Pendleton and Elite Taxis. Ride the bus.
Awareness of mental health struggles has never been more important than in the last few years. Here at Mackay Creek Estates, through our wellness program celebrations, we seek to engage our residents in activities that bring joy and fulfillment. If you'd like to learn more about mental health in older adults, we're hosting a free webinar with geriatric mental health specialist Laura Valancourt. That's on Friday, August 26th at 10 a.m. Laura will offer advice on how to understand your loved one's struggles and best support them. To register, visit PrestigeCanHelp.com. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
A Pendleton original, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour. And now back to your host on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Been talking this morning on the KUMA Coffee Hour about school safety with Intermountain ESD Superintendent Mark Mulvihill. And Mark, we talked about the upcoming summit for Intermountain ESD. We've talked about, you know, how schools have to take into effect, you know, safety precautions, what folks need to do as far as speaking up. We've said this time and time again, and it's so important because it is proven that this does make a difference. You know, the see something, say something. But I wanted to ask you quickly, how can that see something, say something motto also be important to parents, guardians, or neighbors?
Well, what we've spent the first part of the show talking about is the school and law enforcement's role. This is now, what is the role of the community is what you're asking. What's the role of parents? What's the role of politicians? We have a major problem in America with this. And what point do we have to get shaken to our knees that we look at joining hands, looking at the research, and doing the right things to protect our kids and protect our adults serving those kids? There's a ton of research out there, Dan. We just don't do it. As far as securing weapons at home, as far as access to weapons, as far as, you know, neighborhoods embracing their teenagers and supporting kids. This is the kids who have done this. Like I said, the profile, male, somebody knew about it. These are deeply troubled kids. And we have research that when they're 33 and in prison, what's their reflection on what they did when they were 17? Developmentally in the brain, this isn't a joke, a 17-year-old developmentally does not have the same range of judgment that an 11-year-old does because of the physical development of the brain. The kids are very, very fragile at that age. And when they have access to weapons, when they have access to copycat on the media has a role here, Dan. We've learned about copycat situations. When you can see it on the internet, when you can see it on the news, and you're a troubled youth and you have access to weapons, we're starting to build an active shooter profile. So I guess with that, you know, this is a 30-minute show and we're tying it up. But what I would hope with communities, it's a local community embracing this problem. There's a ton of research from every aspect that we've learned what to do here to prevent it and secure it. Do we have the wherewithal as a community to join hands, and in a country to join hands that's very polarized, to focus on our kids and the people serving our kids? That's where we're at right now if we're going to not have the next one happen again.
And, you know, you pointed out in the last segment, you know, nobody wants to be a snitch, but it's not being a snitch. It's being, as you said, I guess, unified for your own safety, your kids' safety, your community's safety. You know, it would be so much better to just, you know, point out whether the tip line, calling a school, calling law enforcement, whatever, and saying, hey, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but this might turn into something.
This doesn't feel right.
Exactly. Something doesn't feel right. And there's no crime in that.
No.
And just speaking out and being, I guess, preventative, if you will.
And even, Dan, you know, the research is clear on how neighbors can be so impactful in teenagers. Do you know the kids in your neighborhood? Do you embrace them and support them? Do you do healthy activities for kids? This is a community effort that we have to do to change this.
Well said. And my guest, Mark Mulvihill, Intermountain ESD Superintendent. Thanks, Mark. And that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Back tomorrow.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.